worship. It is good to see you today. So glad that you have chosen to be here. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here with Trinity. And if you are with us for the first time, I'm delighted to welcome you as our guest. Please let us know that you've been with us, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that you find inside your bulletin. I want to tell you about our mission box for the day. You'll see some information in the bulletin about that, but today is for Grace Clinic, which is part of Grace Marketplace that serves some of those in our community who are the most vulnerable and most in need. Your gifts that can be placed in the boxes at any of the exits as you go out today will go toward providing medical needs and supplies throughout the year for that population, and so we appreciate your support of that effort. I also want to tell you about a service opportunity that's coming up right here at Trinity in just another week. Trinity has a long-term partnership with Family Promise, an organization in our community that provides temporary housing for families that find themselves in transition and homeless for a period of time. And so once every 2 to 3 months, these facilities serve as a home for a couple of those families, anywhere from 2 to 4 families typically. And so that effort means that there are lots of persons from Trinity who are a part of serving meals, staying overnight, doing other things. And so there are a variety of ways to serve. If you've never done that before, let me encourage you to consider doing that next week. And you'll find information in your bulletin about who to contact and how to get involved with that ministry. Today is also Confirmation Sunday. You'll hear a little bit more about that a little later in the service. But at the last service at 9:40, we had the joy of celebrating that with our young confirmands and their families. And later today in the service, when you come up for communion, if you'd like, you'll find their names still along the altar rail, and you might take a look at one or more of those and pray for them today. Well, again, welcome. Every time we come here, it is good to know that God is here ready to meet us and welcome us in and call us a part of God's family. And so when we come into this place, I have the joy of saying to you, welcome home. And would you stand and greet one another as we prepare to worship?
Please join me in the singing of our opening hymn.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight.
Jesus died and rose for many that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing God our God. the one that makes us one, one with you and one with each other. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on us this morning that we may hear you and respond with courageous boldness, following Christ wherever you may lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our confirmands had created a creed as part of their journey in going on with their confirmation classes. And yeah, that's not coming out very well, but that is what we are going to use today, is this amazing work that they have collaboratively worked on, and so those will be our words, and will you join me now in affirming our faith? We believe in God, the Father Almighty, who created heaven and earth and all things good. We believe in the power of God that work in our world, that God loves everyone, and that we were made for a purpose. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who was born to save the world. We believe Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus then ascended into heaven and now sits at God's right hand. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our faith and is present with us as we pray, worship, and create. We believe in the church and in our family and friends, and that we are called to be loving, kind, and generous toward all people. We believe in the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Each week as we come together, there is a time for us to offer our prayers. There are persons within our church community who are in need of your prayers, and you see some of those things on the screen here. I also invite you to lift up the family of Steve Pavlik. We received word this past week that sadly, after a long period of illness, Steve passed away. So prayers for his wife Trish, his son Jason, daughter-in-law, Jason's wife, Rachel, who is a staff member here as a part of our Stepping Stones team, and their son, Jack, as well as other family members. Would you remember them? And also, the family wanted you to know that there is a time, there will be a visitation time at the Jonesville location of Williams Thomas. That will happen on Tuesday from 5 to 7, and anyone is welcome to go and offer their comfort and condolences. And then the family will be having also, we've mentioned confirmation a couple of times, and I want you to see a picture of our confirmands that received their stoles today, that the material had been given to our United Methodist women, some of whom then lovingly crafted the stoles, and then the students actually decked them out themselves with the symbols of the faith and of other things that are important to them. What a cool thing. And again, would invite you to keep this whole new class of confirmands. 22 of them this morning, so be prayed for. Oh God, we give you thanks for the things that bring good news and joy and celebration to our lives. We especially are grateful for the journey of faith that these 22 students are on. And may today be not a culmination, but just a beginning of a life lived in response to your grace, and growing more and more into your likeness. We pray for those in our community, for those who are part of our families and friendships, who are in your need, who are in need of your grace, for those who are suffering, for those who are downhearted, that they might be uplifted in their spirits. We pray that we might be a part of blessing the lives of others through our own words and actions. This week, help us to be attentive to where we might act on your behalf. And we pray that each of us would continue on our journeys as well. That no matter our age, no matter our stage, we would be seeking deeper faith and deeper commitment along the road. And so we join our hearts and our voices together this morning, praying as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
give back to God during our time of offering. We just wanted to say thank you for your faithfulness. Those 22 confirmands that you saw a picture of earlier are evidence that the ways that you are giving faithfully to God through the ministries of this church are having an impact on young lives all the way up. And so, blessings upon that. And thank you. And continue in your faithfulness. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for the ways that you do bless our lives. And so we hold on loosely to those things and we give them back to you now. May you continue to bless these financial resources. And may they be used for the ministries of this church that meet people where they are and help them encounter the real presence of Jesus Christ. And let that transform each and every one of us, Lord, and continue to permeate throughout our entire community and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hannah, and what reassuring words of comfort that God is with us and keeps us safe today and every day. This morning, as he said, is a significant day in the life of Trinity. It's Confirmation Sunday, and we received 22 students to be a part of the life of the church. Students committed their lives to follow Christ. They each received a Bible that you, Trinity, purchased for them. And I am mindful of the fact that in my office just over there on the credenza behind my desk is a Bible that I received from you, Trinity, when I was in sixth grade and went through confirmation. And what a blessing it was to be a part of this congregation and to grow up here. And you know, you never know where God might lead you. So this morning, I selected a scripture reading specifically for our confirmands and a message for them. But it's a message that reaches all of us and that perhaps all of us need to hear over again. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus has just been on the mountain feeding the 5,000. And as he did that, 5,000 men and women and children on top of that, then they came down, and this is when he decided to ask the disciples to go into the boat. So that's where we pick up this account. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowd. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. But then Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me this morning and sharing this message with you. And so I pray for you that God will speak a word to you this morning. Let's pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I would imagine that if you have lived in Gainesville for a long time or have lived anywhere in Florida, you have been through some storms in your life, some physical storms, hurricanes or tornadoes. I remember one here in Gainesville, and it was in May of 1977. I remember that specifically because just a couple of days after that storm, I was celebrating my 13th birthday, and we celebrated with a candle in a pancake that was made on a Coleman stove. It wasn't a very good pancake either. What I remember about that storm is that I was asleep in my bedroom, and it hit early in the morning. And my windows were open, and my bed backed right up to my windows. And I woke up because I was getting wet. The rain was literally coming in sideways into the window and on top of my head. But being one who can really sleep through just about anything,
I just pulled the covers back over my head and decided I would go back to sleep. But kind of a little bit awake, I heard this voice, or I heard some noise in the hallway, and it actually sounded like somebody crying. And so I got up and I went out into the hallway, and as soon as I opened the door, my mother said, "Close the door and sit down on the floor." The crying that I heard was my younger sister, who was scared. Now, all of our life growing up in that house with an interior hallway, the word that we heard was, if there's ever a bad storm or a tornado, you will go into the hallway, close your door, and sit down on the floor. So when Mother said that, I knew something really bad was happening. As we sat there in the hallway, in the dark, we could hear this enormous rumbling. They were all fishermen, and so they were used to being on boats, but hopefully they had enough sense not to be in a boat on a lake during a storm. But what we know about Jesus is that he noticed the strong wind, and he saw the disciples being battered by the wind in the boat, and then Scripture says that he came to them, and he walked on water toward them in the storm. And as if they weren't frightened enough already by the storm, then they were frightened by this person coming toward them. Who wouldn't be frightened if they were on a lake in a storm, and then they saw this figure walking on the water toward them? But we have to remember that's how Jesus is. He will not leave us alone in the times of tough and when we're being battered by the wind. Instead, Jesus comes to us, telling us to take heart, to be encouraged. He wants to reassure us and comfort us in those storms. And so Peter sees him and he calls out to him. He's pretty sure that it's Jesus, but not 100% positive. And again, isn't that how it is sometimes? Something happens to us and we get a word of comfort or a feeling of peace, and yet we're not exactly sure that it's Jesus. When our daughter, Shelby Hart, was a senior in high school, she was trying to decide where to go to college. And she had two choices, two really good choices, and she was having a difficult time deciding. And as she was bemoaning this with her father and I one evening, she said, "If God, I am doing my best to try to figure out what God wants me to do. And if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, then God needs to tell me what to do." It's really frustrating to want to know and to not know what to do. And that's how it is with us a lot of times. We feel like we're crying out to God, wanting direction, and yet we're not hearing what God wants us to do. So Peter kind of tests God this way. He calls out to him and he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." And then Jesus says, "Come." Don't you know Peter was saying, "Come"? Jesus said, "Come." Wow, it really is him. It's confirmed. That's awesome. And he wants me to get out of the boat and come to him. And he wants me to get out of the boat and walk on water and come to him. And he wants me to get out of the boat and walk on water and come to him. Holy cow. He must be crazy. What have I gotten myself into? See, that's how it often is when you're following Jesus. When we follow, we are called to get out of the boat. notice that the other disciples stayed in the boat, and Peter had to leave them. Sometimes following Jesus means that you have to go a different way than the rest of the crowd. You know, when you commit to follow Christ, you have to make different choices, to make choices that are right choices, even if they are different from everybody else. Sometimes it means doing things that are risky or really scary, that even seem to be ridiculous, like getting out of a boat in a storm and walking on water. Sometimes following Jesus actually costs us something. You may be called to be a voice of love and forgiveness when something incredibly difficult is happening. You may be called to give of your time and your energy and your money to care for those who need care, because Jesus said when you care for them, you're caring for me also. You may be called to take a stand against something that is wrong, even evil, and it may put you at risk. Risk of being pushed out of your comfort zone, risking your reputation, maybe even risking your physical safety. But Peter did it. He stepped out of the boat in bold faith toward Jesus, and he was walking on water. Yes, with God, all things are possible. You all, many of you probably know who Stephen Curry is. He's a basketball player, and when he was at Davidson College playing basketball, he used his basketball shoes as a platform for his faith, and he would write on the side of his shoe, "I can do all things." Now, if you didn't know what that was about, you might think that he was being cocky or something, but he was not. Now he is an NBA player, and he has his own line of shoes, and inside the tongue of the shoe is printed, "I can do all things." You know what that comes from? It comes from Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's not, "I can win, I can succeed, I can do this, I can do that." It's, "I can make it through anything with Christ who strengthens me." And that's what Peter did until he got out of the boat. He walked on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus. See, he looked around and he started getting distracted and frightened by all the wind and the storm. And that's when he began to sink. Isn't that how it is also? We seem to be doing okay, stretching, working hard where Jesus wants us to go, and to live how Jesus wants us to live. And then we take our eyes off Jesus. Peter was doing fine until, as he was looking straight at Jesus, when he started looking around, he began to sink. Now, no matter who we are, sometimes we get distracted. We start worrying too much about what others will think. We let ourselves get off track by going along with the crowd, even when we know it's not what Jesus wants to do. We start seeking other things, trying to keep up with the Joneses, to have all the right things, to know all the right stuff, to the exclusion of following Jesus with our whole lives. We know what God wants us to do, but we begin to get distracted and keep our eyes off Jesus, and ultimately end up getting completely lost, or in this case, beginning to drown. And our God is a wonderful and gracious God. Jesus immediately reached out a hand to Jesus and said, "Come." And then he helped him back in the boat. Jesus reached out to Peter. But you know what? Peter had to reach back and to accept the hand of Christ, to accept that grace. You know, grace is often defined as getting what we don't deserve. And that's what happened here. Peter was testing Jesus. "Jesus, if it is you, call me to come to you on the water." He was challenged. But Jesus reached out and saved him and gave him what he didn't deserve. He offered him grace and a saving hand in the storm, and he helped him back into the boat. And the scripture says when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat worshiped God, saying, "You must be God's son." Or the New Revised Standard Version says, "Truly you are the Son of God." Once they were all back in the boat, they couldn't help but praise and worship Jesus as Lord. We have to know that Jesus saved us, and he is our Lord, and we are called to follow. This morning in the 9:40 service, 22 seventh graders became members of the church. And being a member of the church is not the same as joining the Rotary or a basketball team or an academic club. No. We are not just a group of people with a common interest or a common goal. We are the church. We are called to be unique and distinctive people that follow Jesus. We have to risk getting out of the boat. When we are the body of Christ, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to live like Jesus calls us to live, even when it is difficult, even when it is costly, even when it requires tremendous sacrifice. So maybe the same question that was asked of the Pomper Man this morning should be asked of all of us, for us to consider either for the first time or as a recommitment of our lives to Christ. The confirmands were asked this morning, "Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church." In other words, will you get out of the boat? God's grace has been pursuing you your entire life. And now Jesus is saying, "Come, come." Today, you need to accept that grace. Today, you need to recommit yourself to following, even when it's risky, even when it's difficult, even when it is very costly. The question for you, for me, for all of us today: will you get out of the boat? Will you get out of the boat? God, you pursue us and call us every moment of every day of our lives.
like in the middle of the storms of our life, whether they're literal or figurative, Jesus comes to us in those moments and says, be encouraged. Do not be terrified. Come. And he reached out his hands to us. And the same thing happens here at the table. When no matter what we are going through in life, Jesus says, come and be encouraged. Don't be terrified to come and eat here at this table. Because at this table you find the grace that helps you know which foot to put in front of the next and gives you the strength you need from the inside out, strength that comes directly from all that is divine and sacred, that enables us to get out of the boat with confidence and follow hard and fast after the price too long to leave. And so Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father. And he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and drink. For this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you come looking for us in the midst of our storms, and that you also invite us to dine with you, to receive all that we need, so that we are reminded your grace is sufficient, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here, and on this bread and on this cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us and makes us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world, as we seek to have the courage to get out of the boat, as we seek to encourage one another in that process. May this meal unite us with you in ways that go beyond words, in ways that become tangible expressions of your grace and love in the world. And Lord, where we need it the most this morning as we come to your table, may we hear your words of encouragement wash over us in you. And may we come boldly, knowing that you are with us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're going to be helping us serve communion, go ahead and come forward now. Welcome at the Lord's table. You don't need to be a member of this congregation or any congregation. You simply come at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, saying to you, come and be encouraged and do not be afraid, but come. And as you come forward, we'll invite you to do so by coming out the left side of your seats. We'll start with the front and make our way to the back. You'll come forward, we'll tear off a piece of bread and we'll give it to you. And then you'll dip that bread into the cup and eat it. And then you can come and kneel. We have the names of each and every one of our confirmands here at the kneeling room. And we would love for you to come and pray for them. And you're welcome to also pray for yourselves or those in your life that are on your heart and mind. If you need gluten-free, just let us know. We've got that on either side over here. But
olive ready. continue to reach out your hand towards us, inviting us to come and follow you. And so having tasted and seen that you are good, may that be exactly what we do. Follow hard and fast after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as you're able and join me in the singing of our closing hymn.
This morning, where you go out giving your